Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
The key word in the book of Hebrews, and the theme is better. It's used 13 times. The word better is used in the book of Hebrews. So it is the quote-unquote better book. Jesus was better than the prophets. He was better than the angels. He was better than Moses. And we'll look at this as we go through the study of the book of Hebrews. He's better than Joshua, better than Aaron, better than the priesthood, better than Melchizedek. All of these things. He was better, better, better. And he was trying to tell those Jewish believers, what you have is so much better than what you used to have. Are you following? So that's what the book of Hebrews is all about. And then five things that people asked me about this last week. I went through it quickly, and I should have wrote it down to give it to Greg, and I didn't. I was gone, just no excuse, except I'm just a sorry preacher. Five exhortations of warnings that we have here in the book of Hebrews. If you want to write them down, you can. If not, you can ask me afterwards, and I will give them to you. Number one, the exhortation. Remember, these people, these Jewish believers, are leaving the Christian faith, so to speak, and going back in Judaism. And the first danger was drifting from the word. They were drifting from the word. We see that in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, about drifting from the word. Let me give you the first verse. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Okay? They begin to drift from the word. And then there's a danger from doubting his word. And it's a process. Once you start drifting from God's word, you begin to doubt God's word. Kind of like in the Garden of Eden, hath God really said, did God really say that? Okay, so we see in the book of Hebrews, the second warning is doubting God's word. That's in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. We'll get there later. The third warning is danger from departing from his word. So there's that drifting, you're starting to slip. Then that's doubting. You begin, I'm wondering if it's really so. And then they depart. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. And then the fourth warning is after you depart, you begin to despise his word. Do you know any, now I'm going to pick on Baptists because I is one. Do you know any backslidden Baptist? The worst person in the world to be around is a backslidden Baptist because they know what's right. But they begin to stay away and they actually begin to despise it because of the Holy Spirit of God is beginning to, convict them of what's right. And they just despise because they can't get away from it, and they begin to despise it. And then the fifth thing, the danger is denying his word. Denying his word. They actually get way out there and act, it's not so, it's not true, we deny it. And by the way, just because they deny it does not mean they lose their salvation. Okay? We believe once saved, always saved. You can't change a fact. And then we'll get there to that part a little bit later. So four was Hebrews 10, 25 through 29. That's where the section where he says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So much the more as you see that day approaching. That's that. They were despising his word. Don't be like them. And then the fifth one was Hebrews 12, 25, denying his word. Hebrews chapter 1, I mentioned last week. Let me read the first three verses and we'll get into our study. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the image of his person, and the upholding of all things by the word of his power. Here's the key verse that unlocks all of the book of Hebrews. We're in it. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. My friends, we're in high cotton here. Okay, we talked about last week, Oliver B. Green, and his introduction. I read that last week. The last Did you read that, brother? The last thing he said in his introduction, he says, we should be like Moses, take our shoes off because we're on holy ground. We're in holy ground here. We're in a special book here, the book of Hebrews. And the point of the book of Hebrews is pointing people to Christ, okay? Let me show you. First of all, there's no other book in the Bible that begins like this book. It begins with God. No other book begins like that. Now, we see Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We see in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But no other book began like this book, where absolutely just from the very first word, God. Why is that important? Well, because there was no need to prove the existence of God to the Hebrew people. The Hebrew people, above every other people that's ever been born, any other group of people would know who God is. I'm talking about the true and living God. Psalm 14:1 reads this: "The fool has said in his own heart, there is no God." But the Hebrew people, they knew about God. They knew about the God of their fathers. They existed. No people ever lived who had more proof that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived. And God's dealing with the people of Israel was proof positive that there was a true and a living God. Moses and the deliverance from Egypt, you know, the burning bush and crossing the Red Sea, and Joshua, the Jordan River, how he conquered all of Canaan. That goes on. We're reading the book of Daniel, studying the book of Daniel and on Thursday mornings. By the way, I'd encourage everybody to come at 10 o'clock. I missed it for two. Is it still 10 o'clock, brother? Yeah, 10 o'clock, okay? We're studying the book of Daniel. They knew about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how God delivered them out of the fire. They knew the God of Daniel, how Daniel was delivered from the den of the lions. So you didn't have to prove to the Hebrew people that there was a God. So he said God. And then he goes on, "who at sundry times and in diverse manners." Now, just as you read this, you kind of think, well, he's talking about the same thing. Diverse times and different manners. No, no, no. It's two different things. When he talks about at sundry times, literally is talking about not time as we know it, but the process in which God delivered his message to the Old Testament prophets. In other words, throughout all the Old Testaments, God spoke to his people over a period of time, over 1,500 years. He just didn't give it all to Adam at one time. He just didn't give it all to Abraham and Moses and Abraham and to David. You see the point? At different times, he spoke to different people. By the way, he only told them what they needed to know. Let that sink in. He only told Abraham what he needed to know. Abraham didn't get to know what King David knew or Daniel knew or Isaiah knew. Are you following the thought? Put it up to the year 2023. Aren't you happy I didn't say 2022? I'm just wrote in the check, my tithe check this morning. I had to make sure I put 2023 on it again. Anyway, God sometimes only tells you what you need to know. He didn't throw the whole thing on you, just what you need to know. So at different times, I have to know, through Noah and Abraham, he just gave them that message for what they needed at different times. And notice the next phrase is in diverse manners. Now, diverse manners is the different ways that God spoke to his prophets and through his people. In other words, remember in the Garden of Eden, how did God speak to Adam? And face to face, in an audible voice. He literally spoke to Adam face to face. He did the same way with Moses. How about Samuel? Remember, "speak, Lord, thy servant hears." Sometimes he spoke to people in an audible voice. Other times in dreams, Joseph, Jacob, he spoke to some men in their dreams. Other times in visions, Ezekiel would be an example. Isaiah in visions.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.